you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's Why Blank Lost. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, and no, I'm not rapping today. Libby didn't rap, so it wouldn't be appropriate for me to do so in a podcast dedicated to her. I will, however, be doing glamour shot photos in Boston this week in her honor.
And, I'm holding you to that.
So one person who I know will be taking pictures is a voice you're already hearing, my co-host, selfie queen Jessica Lewis.
Yes, absolutely. There will be lots and lots of pictures of you and I this Wednesday. Be ready, people. Be ready. Yeah.
Nobody's ever ready for that.
It is so much fun.
People just have to take a look at my face in the picture that you posted on Twitter with the Chris podcast.
I was waiting to use that one, too, because it was just so perfect. And that was a perfect time. It really fit in with the rap and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, I thought it was perfect. Perfect. There will be a lot more of those. A lot more annoyed pictures of David Bloomberg.
Oh, great. I look forward to that.
Listen, I already have an idea in my head because I did tell you about the shirt. So there's going to be some serious stuff that we're going to have to do regarding the shirt I'm having made. So just be ready.
All right. I don't think it's possible to be ready. But in any case, I think we're burying the lead here.
We are. We really are. People are like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, because the lead is I got a prediction right.
You did. You absolutely did. I was very proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. I didn't necessarily expect it to go quite that way, but, you know, I did mention that if I were Libby after the two backup votes had been cast her way, I wouldn't feel terribly comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought a majority of people would vote against her because it would be easy to agree on. So, you know, that wasn't quite right, but I was at least correct that it was easy to get almost everyone to agree on her as a backup.
Yes. Hey, and you got to give yourself props anyway, right?
That's right. That's right. And in the end, all that matters is...
David, you're right! David, you're right!
Exactly. I was right before you were, though, just saying.
Were you? Yeah.
But you know what? I was wrong before you, too, so I guess it doesn't really matter. Jacob was my winner pick. He went home before your winner pick. You know, Stephanie Johnson, I predicted... And now you got Libby. So we're even right now.
Yeah, but what have you done for me lately?
I know. Listen, I have a theory. Wait till we get to our predictions.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm blaming my magic eight ball.
Of course you are.
It's a great theory. It's a fantastic theory.
Okay. Well, you know, one person who I don't think was considering the game on a theoretical level was Libby, because she just wasn't one of the bigger super fans coming into this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I think we can see that in both the way she played and some of her interview responses, which, as we'll probably get to, included some real head scratchers for me. And I'm just going to give you one example to start off here. Libby said in her Ponderosa video that she was the victim of a blindside. I don't think that word means what she thinks that word means. That definitely wasn't a blindside, since she was literally told that she was a target. She had received votes in previous tribal councils. I'd say it was almost the exact opposite of a blindside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that the way that the game has basically changed and has developed, that people who come into it that are not fans or not super fans are definitely at a disadvantage, because it seems like with this level of gameplay that is going on in the recent seasons, you have to have some background knowledge of the game in order to truly understand how it's played and truly understand what's happening.
Yeah, I agree, obviously, but I do think it's possible for some, I'll use the R word, recruits, to, you know, figure it out. But I think you have to have a certain mindset to begin with. You have to be, you know, interested, for example, in strategic games or something along those lines. So I think you have to have that going in. And I don't know what Libby's background is. I feel like that wasn't there. But well, you know, and then we may be, you know, jumping ahead a little bit there. You know, the other thing is, despite what Libby said in interviews, her name wasn't quote unquote randomly written down. It was written down for a reason. And the question we have to answer is what that reason was, which, of course, we do by going through my Survivor rules to see what Libby did right and wrong. And anyone who hasn't already can find those rules at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. Even though Michael was the overall agreed upon target, nobody objected to the backup plan of Libby again. And you can only be the backup target for so long before it catches up to you. It reminds me of Big Brother, where if you're the pawn once, you will likely be the pawn again and again, until you're not the pawn anymore. So with all that in mind, we'll begin with the first rule, which of course says to scheme and plot. I think Libby had an idea that she needed to scheme and plot. I'm just not sure she knew exactly how to go about it. She made some early allies in Michael, Jenna, Laurel, and Donathan, and then had a quick and solid bond, or so we were led to believe, with Morgan at the first swap before immediately helping to vote her out. That was strategy. And, you know, we'll discuss in the second rule whether or not it was the correct strategy to vote Morgan out. So, you know, we'll have to hold off on that a second here. But right now, we can say that at least she had a good stone cold tribal council face, because she gave no indication that she was about to turn on Morgan until the deed was done. That earned her the description of being a devil in an angel's body from Dominic. But I think that was also the only time we saw any devilish behavior from her.
Yeah, we really didn't see much from her in the first couple of episodes. And it wasn't until week three that we really saw her kind of step out and start playing the game. And then she kind of backed up again. And then we saw her again in this week's episode. So it's hard to really pick out what she did throughout the game, because it seems like the things that she was, that we were very aware of, were significant things, but then that was it.
Right. I mean, she even said in one interview that not only did we, the viewers, not get to see her devilish behavior, which, okay, yeah, because we didn't see much of her, but she didn't see her devilish behavior. At the same time, she said she took Dominic's statement about her being a devil as a compliment. So I don't get it, but all I can say is she's not a devil.
Well, people thought she was from the start of the game. Can we talk about that now or talk about that later?
Sure. Well, it depends. Are you talking about the Morgan vote?
No, I'll wait. Okay. I'll wait. I'm just so excited, because it's just so fascinating to me to see people play this game. And obviously we have viewers have an idea of what this person is like. And when this person does their exit interviews, they try to explain themselves and maybe spin the view that we have a little bit. But then you also have the views that we've gotten from both pregame and during the game. And it's always fun when it's such a mashup like this. It's just fun to me, because everyone's trying to, like, the whole concept of her being nice and was it a ploy, was it not a ploy, it's just fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think you have something devilish ahead for us, but for right now, you know, like I said, we just didn't see that
right
now during the episode, we heard that Libby was supposedly in a power couple alliance with Michael. I was so stunned by this news that I actually asked on Twitter if I had dreamed them saying that. And, you know, the responses came in. No, it was actually said. It's just that nobody else could figure out what they were talking about either.
Mm-hmm.
Libby later said that while she did sleep next to Michael a few times for warmth, that didn't mean they were a power couple. And I agree that, I don't think they were a power couple, especially as evidenced by the fact that Michael didn't even trust Libby enough to tell her about his idol.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to be labeled as a couple and you're being told you're a couple, well, then you might as well work together.
Yeah. And you know what? I almost feel like that term now in the game, it has such a negative connotation that it's supposed to, but it's even worse now, because now I feel like people can use it in a different way. And I think maybe that's what happened with Mike and Libby, is that somebody just kind of threw it out there like, oh, well, they're a power couple. And then everyone starts believing they're a power couple, even though they might not be. And it's a great strategic play if you want to get two people targeted, start calling them a power couple. You know, Wendell and Dom, that's going to be a power couple. You know, I mean, and it's Kellen and Bradley. They were a power couple. It's a great way to take the attention off of yourself and throw it on two other people.
Yeah, I think Wendell and Dominic are the cutest power couple.
They are so cute.
Saying hi to each other during the challenge. So flirty.
I love it. I love it.
Anyway, you know, getting back to Libby, and when she was asked in an interview why she thought she was the backup for so many votes, she said she could never grasp their strategy except seeing her as a social threat. No. You know, rather the opposite, in fact, because Angela even once told her it's hard to vote against her because she's nice and nobody hates her. But that didn't stop them from doing it.
But I do think people hated her. I do.
Okay, well.
I do.
Well, there may have been some. And I think I know where you're going. But just, I feel like it's mostly not that she was hated, but that no one was directly linked to her either.
No, and that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, because Libby didn't really have any tight connections with Navidi players like the other remaining Malolos did. Mm-hmm. She was apparently pretty friendly with this woman who's allegedly on the season named Chelsea, but but not so enough bad to keep her safe. You know, Jenna has Sebastian. Michael used to have Kellen and Dominic. Laurel and Donathan have the cute couple of Wendell and Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone has to be a backup, it might as well be the person who has no super tight connections.
Right.
And I think, you know, Libby ended up in that situation partially because of the way things worked out at the original Swap Tribe, because James said in his exit interviews that he and Libby were working the Chris Angela angle while Laurel and Donathan were working the Dominic Wendell angle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Dominic side won the battle. That left Laurel and Donathan in good position and Libby in a bad place with no real Navidi connections.
And there's that added component where I know that Dominic is the one that's saying that she's the devil in an angel's body and he's kind of planting that seed. But it does seem like a lot of people have referenced how nice she appears. And it was then turned into, is that a ploy? And maybe people really started to see it that way. Maybe people really saw that she is really nice. Is she actually a nice person? Because we saw that she got rid of Morgan, even though she was supposed to be close with Morgan. Or is she just putting on a front so she can make it to the end and be the, you know, the nice, cute blonde girl? You know, I don't know. But it's interesting if people were reading so much into, no, that's actually how she is. She's just a nice person. But it was right, working against her because they thought it was part of her strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I know she thought that. I'm not as convinced about that. I guess it's possible.
Right.
But it still leaves us kind of, you know, questioning because, well, the other aspect that I was going to talk about, not only did she have no real Navidi ties, but worse than that, She thought she was working with Laurel and Donovan,
yeah.
but said in her interview with Rob that she didn't know Laurel and Donovan were working with Wendell and Dominic. So
yeah.
she clearly wasn't working or paying much attention, you know, closely enough, you know, to notice all that.
Yeah, and she ended up taking Morgan out so she could be Malolo strong, but it doesn't appear as if the other Malolos were as Libby strong as she would want them to be in order for her to make that determination. You know, she made a decision and her Malolo alliance was more important than her personal relationship with Morgan. But I don't think it helped her game because clearly that bond didn't really solidify her with that group of people. Didn't appear
yeah.
that it did.
Well, I'm going to get to that in the second rule.
I just like to jump around.
It's okay. You didn't know where I was going. So anyway, even with all of this being the case, I think, you know, Libby still did have a chance because Rob pointed out on Know It Alls that if Libby and Jenna had just voted for Wendell, he'd have been voted out.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Why not?
Oh, why not? Well, because you, if you ended up having Michael, Jenna, and Libby vote for Wendell, you still have three female Navidis voting for Libby. So that's a 3-3. And then Michael's votes are null and void. So then it's another, then it's a tie and they vote again. And who is going to vote Wendell off? Nobody. They're voting out Libby. She's gone if it's a tie.
I didn't redo the math. I trusted our fearless leader, Rob.
You know, I sat after I heard him say that, I sat down and I started writing out who voted for who. And the Navidi girls were the ones that voted for Libby. And they would have, so Libby would have been toast. They needed Donathan in order to pull that off. I don't know why she didn't really try for that. I realize Donathan and Laurel are close, and maybe that's what happened. I mean, she said a lot in her exit interviews about how they didn't have enough time to solidify the numbers. I think she should have done much more work, knowing that she's the backup. You have to try to get the numbers. You have to try to get the numbers.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually where I was going too before you sidetracked me with math.
I'm sorry, but yes.
No. It's true. So let that be a lesson to all of you listeners. Do your own math. Don't trust anyone.
Yes. And there's lots of writing in the sand when you're out there.
Yeah.
Doing computations. Yeah,
so, like you said just now, she said in interviews that there wasn't enough time to pull together their numbers. And that's another statement that didn't make sense to me because, I mean, you've been out there. Don't they have like 3 days between tribal councils?
Well, you do have 3 days between tribal councils, but after the immunity challenge is when everybody starts scrambling.
Yeah, well, see, there was her problem.
Yes.
She shouldn't have waited.
Right. There's always a lead up. There's got to be discussions about, well, who are we thinking about next? And it's one of those circumstances where, in Libby's case, knowing that she was the other vote in the two preceding tribal councils, she needed to start working it immediately when she got back to
right.
try to figure out who's on my side and who's not. Because if I have to try to vote against individuals, I need to know who I'm voting against. I need to know who I can trust and to vote with me. That needed to happen right away. I mean, she made one comment at the beginning of the episode where she didn't know who had voted her. Like, she said something to Jenna. But that should have been all she was focused on, was trying to figure out where she fit in this group of people.
Well, where she fit was as the backup target. I mean,
right,
I think that's the problem. And I don't think all the time in the world would have mattered. First of all, one, I do think she had more time than she indicated.
Mm-hmm.
And two, all the time in the world wouldn't have mattered because we already talked about this. She didn't know Laurel and Donathan were working with Dominic and Wendell. And I don't think those two were going to turn on Wendell, despite what we saw at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. The Michael thing just blows my mind, though. Like, that
yeah.
part of it really blows my mind.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe Michael realized that Laurel and Donathan, you know, were not really on his side. Maybe he didn't get enough of an intuition from people that they were going to be on his side. So he was like, well, into heck with y'all. I'm not going to bother, you know, telling you about my idol.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but Libby should have done something with
mm-hmm.
Michael. You know, admittedly, it would have been a lot easier if he had told her that he had the effing stick.
Right.
But she knew the vote was being split. She could have voted for Wendell. She could have tried something else. But she admitted in one interview that she was flustered by all the differing opinions.
And here's the thing, too. And this is what I was trying to determine. When she's talking to Michael, and Michael has been told, everybody knows whose names are coming up. And it's Michael and Libby, and they're splitting right. the vote. So everyone is very cognizant of what's happening. Is Michael freaking out? Is Michael concerned? Because Michael should know he's getting the majority of the votes and Libby's getting the backup. And if his discussions with Libby doesn't indicate that he's freaking out, well, then he's got an idol. And Libby, you're right. going home. You know, there's that component of it, too, that if there's no scrambling or if there's no reaction by Michael that, oh, we got to do something. We have to make something happen. If he's willing to just kind of say, well, I'm voting for Wendell and leave it alone. Clearly, there's something else going on. And that's got to be an idol. And that's why, and because I can't imagine those conversations could have been just kind of calm and blasé, knowing that one of those two are going home. It seems very, very strange to me that she didn't go, well, wait a second, why is he not freaking out? You know, and then go to the conclusion that he has an idol.
Yeah, and that brings it back to, you know, like I said, that I just don't think she understood the scheming and plotting aspect of the game all that well. And, you know, she couldn't read what was going on. And then I just need to end this rule on this topic, because when Mike Bloom asked her what techniques she tried to get people to trust her, she said she tried to stay as true to herself as possible while still playing the game. She then said something about using ingenuity to create bonds while not looking like she was trying too hard, and that allowed her to be trustworthy. I have no idea what she said. I am absolutely, I mean, as flustered as she was, that was going on, that's how flustered I am. So I don't know if you have a translation or not, you know, but I just think it goes back to she really didn't understand it. That is my read on the situation.
You know what I think it is? I think it's you have an opportunity to answer those questions on a keyboard as opposed to just asked a question. So she thought about it too much.
Now that may be it.
She overthought. She overthought.
That could be. That could be. All right. The long awaited, well, not that long, rule two.
All of my rule one notes I'll just throw under rule two, because that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, you're probably right there. Unless you wanted to get rid of the other devilish items, but I feel like that's more, actually, knowing where you're going without giving anything away to the listeners, I feel like that's more a rule five type of thing.
It might just be a rule five type of thing.
So anyway.
Hang in there, everybody.
No, that's right. No spoilers. now that we are at the second rule, it discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and backstabbing too soon. And there are definitely some people who think Libby violated this rule by turning on Morgan shortly after making an ally of her. So what do you think?
I think she did. I think that if you really look at where she was as far as that particular vote in that tribe, the only targets in that vote were Navidi targets. So you've got Morgan on one hand, you've got Angela on the other. And it's so they're not, Malolo is not targeting each other anymore at that point, which puts her in a good spot because, okay, now everybody's looking at Navidi and no one's looking at Malolo. So who should I really try to ingratiate myself with? Well, the Navidi still has the numbers, even though they're both targeting Navidi. As far as the Malolo people that she was with, she wasn't at the top of that Malolo four. And if she flips over to Navidi, she's probably going to be in a better position than she would have been with the Malolo four, because you've got Laurel and Donathan who are close. I guess she and James maybe were working together, but it wouldn't have hurt her chances, I think. And she also would have been working with someone like Morgan who liked her. And we've heard enough survivors say, and the person who I know, Chelsea, who is playing the game, yes, did say in one of her web confessionals that if somebody likes you, then it's easier for them to vote for you in the end. And if she has a close relationship with Morgan, she's going to be able to feel more comfortable, I think, in strategizing and trying to determine where they're at. And you've got a twosome at that point. If you are, and all of a sudden maybe they're a power couple. I think it would have been greatly to her benefit at that point to say, you know what, I'm sticking with the Navidi people, and we're still targeting a Navidi person. So now the Malolo numbers are a little bit more, but I just feel like it would have been a better place for her game because she could have had that twosome with Morgan.
Okay, well, you will undoubtedly get some very nice tweets and responses, and I'm going to get some nasty ones because I'm going to disagree.
Good. Okay. Let's do this.
Because, you know, Libby said in her interview with Rob that she made the right decision to vote out Morgan in order to stay with her alliance instead of being at the bottom of a new alliance.
And she was at the bottom of the four anyway.
Yeah, but I'm not sure she knew that.
And, okay.
You know, while I've questioned some of her other answers, I'm in agreement with her on this one, because at that moment in time, I think that the correct decision was to stick with her fellow Malolos and get rid of the Navidi that they wanted to get rid of, which, of course, you know, was Morgan. If she had refused, she could have lost trust with her Malolo allies. And you know what happens sometimes in those situations.
I do.
You're trying to get away from that situation. Let's just vote you out instead.
I know. And here, and listen, Survivor is not a perfect world. I get it. And this is a situation where you always have to look at, where is this going to bring my game? Where am I going to end up? And yeah, I suffered that particular fate. Thank God I was saved, which was, thank David I was saved. So I totally
David
understand.
Wright will be very happy that you have elevated him to that level.
Yes. So, but it is something that you have to look at those decisions and think long-term game. And if we look at the consequence for Libby of not flipping at that point, what did Dominic do? Dominic said, I gave her some rope and she hung me with it. And then proceeded to call her a devil in an angel's body, telling people she'll slit your throat. So she got one of the more vocal players against her, who I think helped plant the seed in other people's minds that the nice thing that she's portraying is a ploy, that she'll stab you in the back. You can't trust her. So she ended up losing a lot with the Navidi people, and then continue to be a target with the Navidi females who clearly didn't appear to like her. So I don't know. I just feel like if she had taken that moment and kind of flipped the script, she might have been able to change the narrative that people were saying about her throughout the game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's something you can foresee.
And you can't. And that's the problem. You can't.
Yeah, but what she did do was, by going along with them, it set the Malolo up for a great situation, because the Malolos on the tribe could have gone in either direction. They knew Chris and Dominic were just not going to work together. That was already clear. And like I said earlier, you know, they had two working each side and they could have gone either way. James talked about that quite a bit in his interviews.
Mm-hmm.
The problem turned out to be that their tribe was too good at immunity challenges and they never had a chance to actually follow through with any of their plans, which ended up making them more vulnerable in the long run. And, you know, I think that gets back to when James had said, you know, if I had it to do over again, we probably should have thrown a challenge.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And they won everything and they never took anyone out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, was a bigger problem for her. It wasn't turning on Morgan. It was turning on Morgan and then not following through with the rest of the plan.
Well, and that's a good point. That is a good point, because I do think that when she did vote out Morgan, Morgan also helped with the narrative regarding Libby, too, with don't trust the blonde girls or the cute blonde
right.
girls.
Cute and blonde.
So she was clearly the focal point of that vote, because she was the deciding factor. I think I feel like it could have spun in a different direction for her. But at that point, you're early in the game and you're trying to figure out what's going to be best for you as the game moves forward. I am a big proponent on, if you know that someone is going to have your back, that's huge in the game. That is absolutely huge. And she didn't have that yet with the Malolo people, but it was still early. But I just feel like the connection that she had with Morgan, I know she wanted to say, I didn't want to I didn't want it to be a personal decision. I wanted it to be a strategic decision. But sometimes if you have a close relationship with someone, it helps in your strategic decisions because, you know, they've got your back.
But again,
you want to believe. I mean, I suffered that fate. I believed Sunday had my back. You know, I thought she was my 100%, you know, she was my girl. And that wasn't the case. And you live and you learn. And then you have to go on with the game and figure, and you have to reconfigure things. And so for Libby, maybe the safer route was, I'll go with what I know as opposed to what I don't. And I know the Malolos, so I'm going to stick with that. So it makes sense. It does make sense, but it's a lot of things to process.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, anybody listening, one of us took your side. So,
I might have waffled a little bit, but,
yeah, you know.
Well, you know, listen, you make good points, David. God damn, you make good points. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah. Cave. Overall, I don't think Libby was scheming and plotting too much. But what matters, at least some of the time, is that some of her tribe mates did. You know, you already mentioned Dominic thinking she was scheming and plotting too much. Donathan told Dominic not to trust her when they were talking about voting out Chris. And that's probably because of what I mentioned earlier about how she had been working to get close to Chris. I guess at some point they told Libby because she was in on it. But at least at the beginning, their first instinct was don't tell her. She can't keep it a secret. Add to that the fact that despite her saying she and Michael were not a power couple, she acknowledged that originally she and Michael were close and it just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Angela even told her that sometimes perception is reality unless you make it clear, just like people thought Angela was closer to Chris than she really was. And that once you have that bullseye on your back, it's hard to get rid of. Those are wise words from Angela, but we didn't see any indication that Libby listened or did anything to counter the beliefs, like actually distancing herself from Michael or actively working with anyone else.
Right.
And I know someone's going to point out, well, wait a minute, David, you just said mere moments ago, if she was going to be blamed for being in a power couple with Michael, she should have worked with him. And now you're saying she should have distanced herself. Well, what I'm saying is one or the other. You know, if you're going to be blamed, then either work with him because you're being blamed for it anyway, or distance yourself so clearly that no one thinks that anymore.
Right.
You got to pick one or the other. And she did neither.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. And since you mentioned Angela, I just want to say she was so cute this episode. I loved her. I just have to say that.
I definitely enjoyed her as well.
Oh, my word. Like, where did she come from all of a sudden? She was so enjoyable. I loved it. Loved it.
She didn't have Chris looking over her shoulder.
Oh, my word. She's a completely different person. Completely different person. And she was just so enjoyable to watch this episode.
Yes. And let me put on the record, Stephen Fishback did not give her a fishy because he said he couldn't because Michael played his idol and didn't get voted out. Yeah, I don't care. She deserved it. She had a good plan. She won the immunity challenge. She was entertaining. She deserves a fishy.
If anything, for swallowing that slug whole, she deserves a fishy. My God.
So I am giving her a lost.
A lost.
I don't know. We've never given one anything before.
That's amazing.
So.
We have a new thing now. That's great.
Yes. So,
I don't know. Fishback might be
that,
a little.
Take that, Stephen Fishback.
Please don't be mad that he's going to steal your stuff.
Here's a clue. He's not listening.
Ooh, so is this like a test? We'll get to find out if he's listening.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If he says something in Boston, we'll know.
About the Losty? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So Angela is our first winner of the Losty.
Yes.
That's perfect.
All right. So did you have anything else for the second rule?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
Okay. Well, the third rule tells players they need to be flexible. And that means, among other things, they need to have their finger on the pulse of everything that's going on and be able to make moves in different directions. But we've already discussed that Libby didn't know why people were voting for her. She was flustered by the choices she had to make leading up to this tribal council. So you can't really be flexible as a player if you can't figure out what that flexibility could entail.
She had the best confessional, though, back in the episode 3, I guess, when Morgan got voted out, when she said, when people come to you, it's great because then you get to make a choice. And I was like, oh, that's great. Like, that's, it is fantastic because then you are the person who's the decider, if you will. And I thought that was really intuitive of her. So she was trying, I think she was considering being flexible.
But people came to her this time. I mean, people came to her and literally told her what was going on.
I know.
And she couldn't make a choice. No. Or, you know, at least she made the wrong choice, I think.
I feel like we're missing something. Like, there needs to be something. Like, the conversation between her and Michael, there had to have been more that we just didn't see.
I could get in trouble for this, but I don't think we are the ones who are missing something.
You are so mean.
Yeah, I can be. when you've been talking about why people lost for as long as I have,
that's true.
Eventually some of it's not going to be as, you know, happy, positive as it can be.
And that's why I'm here.
Yes.
I keep
to make it
happy,
so people
happy,
only
positive.
Hate one of us.
I'll do my damnedest to try to keep it light and fun. Okay.
So we will lightly and funly move on to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And, you know, certainly the discussion we already had about Morgan tells us that Libby was smart enough to know she couldn't make decisions based on emotion, which was good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure I really have anything more to add to that.
No, that's pretty much all I had to.
You're so mean.
Listen, I told you there was very minimal that we saw of her, and that was one of her big moments where she made a decision based on strategic versus personal. So, yeah, that's my notes for rule 4.
Yeah, if you think this was minimal, just wait till why Chelsea lost. God, we'd better hope that's a double episode or something. 5-minute podcast.
Oh, my word.
But anyway, that's just looking ahead here. So get to the
maybe
fifth
she'll
rule.
Take off like Angela did, because Angela just like
could
bloomed
be.
This episode.
Could
so,
be. Could be.
It can happen.
So the fifth rule, you have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And by Libby's own words in an interview, she was not just playing nice. She actually is a nice person. And I have no doubt that she is. But you would know better than I would, since you've actually met her and, of course, taken a selfie with her.
I did take a selfie with her. She's very sweet and she's very nice. And she's, I don't know. She had just kind of a calm nature about herself. Like, I thought she was a nice person. She was very sweet. So I don't think it's a ploy. I don't think she was pretending. Maybe she was pretending with me and with everybody. I don't know. But from what I saw, she seemed very, very genuinely sweet.
Okay. Well, even though she seems to be very nice and probably is, Libby said in her interview with Rob that the Navidi girls didn't like her.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, and she also said in her Mike Bloom interview that she was close with Chelsea, which I'm a little confused about because Chelsea is technically a Navidi girl. So I'm a little confused about that. So she must just be using her own terminology that makes more sense to her. But I suspect it has to do with some sort of Desi versus Libby feud. But I'm not sure what that is. I understand you have more of the goods on that one.
Well, I don't know if I have the goods, but I just put some things together that I noticed. In Desi's Wiggler interviews pregame, on her thoughts regarding Libby, she said, she's the devil in the red dress. She has a smile that will lure you in, but she is super sneaky and venomous. I can see it in her eyes. That's pretty deep for someone that you're just watching from across the room for a few days. And then the fact that we hear Dominic say she's the devil in an angel's body, you now have two people calling her a devil. And the words that are being used regarding her, that she'll cut your throat. You know, and I've already mentioned Dominic said that, you know, I gave her some rope and she hung me with it. Like, these are really like, they're strong, strong words. And I feel like Desi maybe has already made up her mind pregame that she wasn't going to like Libby. And then there is a web confessional that Desi gave this after this episode, or, you know, once they all came out, however that works. But she was talking about how she really likes Donathan and how she ends up kind of connecting with Donathan because they're both brought up with the small town aspect of living, and they haven't come from a whole lot. And she talks specifically about Libby and Mike and Jenna. And she talks about Libby and how Libby talks all the time about how she's traveled all over the place, and Michael's in LA and he meets celebrities, and Jenna talks about meeting celebrities. So I think there's, I don't know if it's a jealousy thing, but there's definitely something there that Desi sees in Libby that she just doesn't like. And maybe Libby represents someone in Desi's world that she already has this preconceived notion about. And then when she actually meets Libby and starts talking to Libby, it's affirmed. The ideas that she had in her head pregame, she hears Libby talking during the game, and it's affirmed. And then in that instance, Libby becomes her number one target, because the only person who has continued to bring up Libby's name is Des. Desiree continues to bring up her name, or did continue to bring up her name, throughout the duration of this game. So there has to be something more going on there than what we've seen. There just has to. And I don't know if it's because she had some preconceived notion that was affirmed, or if it was something that we just never saw on the screen. But Desiree clearly was the one who wanted Libby to go. Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if it's not a coincidence that both Dominic and Desiree use the word devil, because remember, they started out in the same tribe together.
Mm-hmm.
So you know better than I do how much time there is to kill out there. So I'm sure they were comparing notes about their initial thoughts of the players on the other tribe.
Absolutely.
And Desiree does not seem like the type who would hold back what she thought.
No, and I'm sure that that was how she expressed it, and Dominic ran with it. And it's right. This is one of those situations where you can really determine someone's game just by spreading rumors. You know, this is before they had ever actually like hung out with Libby or met Libby. And these are determinations that they've made, and then they're being shared with other people. And then it's developing into, well, that's who she is then. She's this devil, mm-hmm. and she'll cut your throat, when in actuality, that might not be at all what's happening.
Right. But now on the flip side, we've seen lots of people who had bad first or pre-first impressions mm-hmm. manage to turn it around.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, Libby was not able to.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it's because her niceness was interpreted as fakeness, or, you know, exactly what the reason was. But other Malolos made connections. She did not.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's all very interesting.
Yes. All right. So with that, we move to the sixth rule, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Now, earlier I mentioned that Libby surmised she was seen as a social threat. And, well, let's just say I didn't see it that way. In fact, I can't think of her being seen as any kind of threat at all.
Ooh, yes, I can. I'm so excited. Okay, I am stealing this from Courtney Yates. So thank you, Courtney Yates. Penn Fan Forum, she talked about this. And I think it applies here. Now, she's a threat in a completely different train of thought. Like, it's not your typical someone that you would view as a threat for this reason. And this goes back to Des. It goes back to Desiree. When Desiree talked in her confessional about she and Donathan, she spent a lot of time talking about how similar they are because of their upbringing. That, you know, and that was a very strong idea for Desiree, as to why she and Donathan connected, that they have similar upbringings. Even though he's from Kentucky, they both don't come from very much. And she really goes out of her way to talk about how close she is to Donathan. And she even says, I never would have thought that pre-merge, but she said, I know what it's like to live in a small town and to, you have to manifest things for yourself and make things happen for yourself. And so she has this strange connection with Donathan. She specifies Libby, Mike, and Jenna as people that talk about things that she doesn't foresee. that she's not familiar with. She doesn't hang out with celebrities. She doesn't live in LA. She doesn't travel all over the place. And this is where we come to Courtney Yates' philosophy of the final three. When she was in Survivor China, she said that the idea for she and Todd and Amanda was the three of them should they should be the final three because they're so similar. They're three young people who are in very similar places in their life, have done very similar things. And so when you're sitting in the final three, nobody sticks out. Nobody's different. You don't have a mom sitting next to Todd and Courtney who then could play the mom card. Everybody is kind of on like an even playing field. And I thought that was interesting because maybe Desiree is looking very far ahead in the game. I don't know. But she's clearly looking for similarities with people. And she found that in Donathan. She didn't find that in Libby. She didn't find that in Mike. She hasn't found it in Jenna. And so I feel like those people actually become a concern for that final three spot. If Libby is sitting there, if people think that she's really nice and sweet, and this wonderful person, and if she connects with more people on the jury, like Michael and Jenna, and maybe some other people who are similar to her, well, then that's a threat for the people who are sitting next to Libby. And I don't know if that's a stretch, but I just kind of thought about it when I saw that confessional with Desiree, that it's interesting that Desiree would be focusing on those things at that point in time. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's where my crazy brain went.
Okay, it does make sense. And I do agree that I think it's a stretch. However, it's possible, I guess. I don't think Desiree is probably thinking that way. But the thing is, we haven't really seen much of what she's thinking.
Right.
So for all we know, you're dead on.
And there is an idea when you're out there that you start looking at people who are playing with you and you start to realize they're in my spot kind of thing, where you're looking at who could be a final three and who do you want to be sitting next to and why do you want to be sitting next to those people? And, you know, there was one particular vote that happened on my season that all of us kind of scratched our heads about. Why did this person want to vote that person out? But it really came down to a final three spot, you know, where... And I feel like that's something that people think about. They think about if someone's sitting in my spot, then they got to go. And I don't know if that's where anyone is thinking this. I know it's early. I know we're a ways away from that. But plus there's that whole fire making challenge, which I don't know if they know that yet, but they find out.
Yes, they do.
They knew it before.
Yes.
Okay. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Desiree as saying Libby's in my spot. I could see her saying she's in my way, get out of my way.
Well, but that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like she is in my way because if Libby is sitting in a final three, she is much different than Donathan or I and
right.
might have more connections with people on the jury because she's got this other, she's kind of worldly and she's, you know, the LA and the celebrities and things that Desi might not be connecting with other people. And so if it comes down to likability, who did I get along with better? People might just vote for Libby.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Libby is sitting in final three, we're in some weird mirror universe. So, because, you know, based on the way things were set up, I just don't see how that was ever going to happen. But, you know, I it's hard to say exactly why Desiree didn't like her other than that first impression. So,
well, and
you know,
she,
that all could have played a part in it.
Right. I mean, and Libby mentions that the Navidi girls don't like her. So you've got
right.
Helen, you've got Chelsea. There's, for some reason, there's something about Libby that rubs the girls the wrong way.
Right. So those damn nice people.
I know.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
So, all right, moving on. We get to the seventh rule, which talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. Now, Libby didn't get anything in that regard. And, you know, we could talk about Michael's mistake in not telling Libby about his idol, but this is why Libby lost, not why Michael will lose. So there's probably no point in discussing that now. It may come up soon. But we can discuss the fact that Michael knew he was in danger, so he went out idol hunting. I don't know if Libby did as well, but based on what we know, what we saw, what we heard, I'm going to guess she didn't give it the same amount of effort as he did, because I feel like she would have mentioned that at some point if she had, either in a confessional or in her interviews, like, oh my gosh, I tried to save myself. I searched 24 hours straight and couldn't find anything.
Right.
But I just feel like even if she did search, it wasn't nearly as hard as someone like Michael did. And, you know, that's a problem. Now, could she have found anything? Was there anything left to find? I don't think so. But maybe there was, or maybe she should have searched earlier when, you know, she saw the way things were going. I know there's a lot of supposition on my part here, but, you know, that based on what we saw, that's all I can conclude.
Well, and I will add what we've already discussed as well, is this idea that the conversation that Michael and she were having, if Michael was not freaking out, you need to assume he has an idol. Like, you always have to assume he has an idol.
Right.
And that's the, you know, that's the problem with this idea of her knowing that she's the backup should have infuriated her. Because if you're the backup, that means people are assuming that he might have an idol. You're going home. So that's the part that I kind of struggle with, is that there was no like panic regarding that.
Yeah, that's another good point there. All right, we move on to Appendix A. And the key to this appendix is to keep your end goal in mind when you're voting. And of course, to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, in this case, the tribe was actually trying to vote out stronger player Michael, and Libby was, as we've discussed ad nauseum, the backup. So while they chose her as the backup for reasons we've already addressed, she wasn't their first choice, so we really can't get into that whole weak, strong discussion. But there has been a difference of opinion online about whether Laurel and Donathan should have stayed Malolo strong and voted out Wendell, or whether they did the right thing in joining the anti-Libby vote. I'm siding with those who say they did the right thing. Because if they had voted out Wendell, yeah, it would have been a huge move. But the Malolos would have still been down 6-5. And those two would have announced exactly where they stood, giving the remaining Navidi further reason to stay strong and Pagong the five Malolos that were left, unless the Malolos could pull another idol move on them to even out the numbers. And I mean, I guess if they could have brought over a Navidi, that would be something different, but we saw no sign of that happening. I mean, Angela would have probably been the most likely, but she's never wanted to flip. She's wanted to be accepted into the main Navidi group.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing, too, is that if Libby and Jenna were close, which maybe they were, I'm mixed on that. But we know Jenna comes with Sebastian, and there didn't seem to be any like, hey, Sebastian, because I realize that Sebastian and Wendell seem to have, you know, they've been close in the past. So I don't know if anyone, if there was any like feelers put out there like, hey, Jenna, what about Sebastian? You want to have a conversation with him? And does Sebastian want to get in on this? Because, I mean, for Sebastian, I don't know if it necessarily would have hurt him much, because he almost seems like a floater at this point. Like, I feel like he could go back and forth between the two, between Malolo and Navidi.
Are you saying he's floating high? I mean, that's what Jeff Probst said. He's high all the time in that challenge.
I'm sorry, that was a great quote. I had to make reference to that. That was good.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know. You know, I did. That's again, we don't know if that attempt was made, but it doesn't appear that it was.
Right, and the thing is, I think Laurel and Donathan made the right move for themselves, for their long game looking ahead, and for those who have been saying, you know, they should have stayed Malolo strong. There is no Malolo strong. There is no more Malolo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, there is still Navidi, but there is no more Malolo. It is every man or woman for him or herself on Malolo.
Right.
And they're just not going to ever pull back together.
And if you think about it too, now that, I mean, if they had if they had flipped and said, okay, you know, now we're gonna vote Wendell out instead, then who's the target after that? You know, I mean, and that's the interesting place we find ourselves in now, that, you know, Michael is still there, but it's, I think you end up kind of limiting yourself with what your options are going to be when you then shine a light on yourself like that, because then maybe you're the target as opposed to someone else still being the target because you didn't make that big move.
Right. Right. All right. We move on to Appendix B, which deals with the jury phase, how to seed the jury, and what to do when you get to the end. But as was the case last week, it really didn't play a role this week either, especially since, as we've discussed, Libby wasn't the main target. So we can pretty quickly skip on by this one again. We'll get there eventually, I promise.
All right, we will.
All right, so we're coming to the end here for Libby, but before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about her?
I think we didn't get to see enough of Libby, which is sad because it makes it very hard for us to make concrete determinations about what she could or could not have done, because we're guessing on some of things. We're speculating, but
no.
But that's what we kind of have to do, right? We look at what we're provided and we try to pick it apart. I don't think she really helped us pick much apart because her exit interviews were so minimal, and that makes it difficult as well. Did she make some decisions I don't necessarily agree with? Yes. Do I think that she was targeted for perhaps being young and pretty and a model? Maybe a little bit. But overall, I think that her biggest issue was coming into this game and not being someone who was what we called a super fan or a really big fan of the game, because she's playing with people that are. She's playing with people like Dominic and Laurel, people that really know this game well and have studied it and are, quite frankly, playing the game exceptionally well. I mean, there are a few issues here and there, but overall, I think that Libby's true problems really stemmed from before she even got on the island, without coming in with that knowledge base that she needed when she was playing the game. But she is really sweet. She's definitely very sweet, and she's a nice person. That's not a ploy.
All right, well, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, Libby's name wasn't, quote unquote, randomly written down. There was a reason behind it. When Libby made what appeared to be a big move against Morgan, I think we all expected a great, well, devilish game from her. That never really happened because, frankly, she's not a devil. She wasn't actually doing much scheming and plotting, but she was seen to be doing too much of it with Michael. And she appeared untrustworthy when it came to some of the others. Many of the Malolos created bonds with the Navidi, and I do think Libby tried, but hers were just not as solid. That led to her being used repeatedly as an easy backup target. She wasn't threatening enough to actually go after, but she also wasn't connected enough to worry if an idol was played and she was taken out. Libby was, well, basically the animal that falls to the back of the herd and is taken out by predators because she was essentially alone. She could have made different decisions to try making a move, but she got admittedly flustered by her available choices and took what she thought was the safe path. But that path wasn't safe at all, and it led directly to her torch snuffing when her own ally played an idol that she didn't even know about. Like I said, she had been left essentially alone in this game, which enabled the other players to vote for her without worry about upsetting the game balance. And that is why Libby lost.
That was good. I like that.
All right. Well, you know what else I hear is good?
What's that?
A place called, or a charity called Hearts of Reality.
It is. It's so fantastic. Last year, I got to go to Give the Kids the World Village, and we raised a ton of money. A bunch of reality television stars went down there, and I'm using quotes when I say stars, okay? Reality TV people, okay? So we got to go down, and it was amazing to go to this village where children who are diagnosed with critical illnesses, they can actually go and have a vacation, a free vacation at Give the Kids a World Village. And it's absolutely amazing the things that they do for the kids there. They provide not only for the children with the illnesses, but their families as well. We actually had a pirates and princesses party with them. And
which were you?
I was actually Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, okay. They told us we could be any type of character, so I went with Little Red Riding Hood, and it was so much fun. There's lots of pictures I posted on Twitter, so I'm sure you can see those there. But it was a great time, and I'm actually going again, and this is going to happen in August. So in order for me to go, though, I have to do fundraising. So I am going to be posting some things on Twitter and probably Facebook regarding my fundraising. I did great last year raising money for this. It's a great cause. So if anyone is interested in throwing a little bit of money towards Give the Kids a World, please consider doing it either for myself or anyone else that's going, because it's really going to a great cause. So you will see those postings very, very soon.
So do people who donate, in your name or honor or whatever, get perks as well?
They might possibly. It depends. You can do an anonymous donation, or you can just do a straight up donation, or you can actually bid on various things. And last year I did a Skype call, and the winning bid was over $300 for it. Wow. And it was incredible. And so it's a 15-minute Skype call, which turned into like an hour. I spent some time speaking to a young man by the name of Matthew. He was wonderful, from Australia. Great, great kid. And that's one of the many ways that they end up raising a lot of money, is various people will go on, and there might be a signed picture of, like, Sandra. I know she does that a lot. She'll have an autographed photo that you can bid on eBay. So if you're interested, you can go to their website, and I will. It's www.gktw.org, and you'll be able to see what types of things are up for auction. And maybe you'll want to have a Skype call with me. Who knows?
Yeah, don't start charging me $300 an hour to have Skype calls with you, because I'm going to be broke if that's
right.
The case.
That's true. I think you owe a lot of money at this point.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, everybody should keep an eye out for those tweets and Facebook posts, and donate, donate, donate.
Yes, please.
All right. Now, we will move on to our prediction.
Oh, God. I hate this.
Maybe that should be something. For a certain level, someone gets to make a prediction in your place.
Oh, I would.
It's like a win-win.
Yes.
They get to make a prediction and you don't have to.
Please, I can't stand this, because here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Listen, my magic eight ball,
it broke and we'll never hear from it again?
The magic is... there's something off. And this is what I will say.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I have proof of this. Are you ready? All right. So I use a magic eight ball when I predicted. Now, I've been using it for quite some time, but it predicted when I asked it the question that Kellen was going to go home at the merge. Then Kellen won immunity. And the next time it was the same thing. I predicted Angela was going to go home, and Angela won immunity. So clearly, my magic eight ball is sensing something about these people. It's just sensing the wrong thing.
Or maybe you're sensing the wrong thing.
Well, that could be it too. So see, I'm actually really good at this. I'm actually really good at this. I'm predicting who's winning immunity instead of who's going home.
Ah.
See?
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second. let me give my real prediction first, and then we'll get to yours. So the preview claims that there is chaos on Survivor next week.
Chaos.
Desiree is freaking out. Kellen is trying to get to the truth. And Dominic says things are about to go bust. And you know what? I don't believe it. I don't see any reason they would do anything differently this coming week than they did last time. Michael's still there. He doesn't have an idol anymore. So what's going to change?
He's going to win immunity.
Okay, you're busting in there. Well, hold on. I actually have that as an option, but, without that aspect of things, does he talk to Kellen and Dominic and set them straight about the conversation that Angela misrepresented? I mean, I guess that's possible, but seems unlikely at this point. The only thing is what you just said, if he wins immunity. Then the Naviti will have to figure out which of their individually linked Malolos are least worth keeping, I guess. If that happens, then I think Jenna will follow her friend Libby, because I can't really see Sebastian fighting with his allies to keep her around. But while I would like to think there could be a lot of fun chaos for Know-It-Alls Live in Boston, I suspect it's going to be fairly straightforward.
I would like it to be exciting.
Yeah, I know. I think the vote will go in a very similar fashion to the way it did this past episode, but this time Michael won't be able to save himself and he will join the jury.
See, that was my thought as well.
So you asked the Magic 8-Ball, will Michael be going? And the Magic 8-Ball said yes, which means he's going to win immunity.
Yes!
See, it's almost like I saw that coming.
I know. Didn't I give you a good lead into that, though?
Yes, you did.
It is decidedly so. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, he's winning immunity.
And the funny thing is, I could totally see that happen.
Right? So I feel like that would make it much more fun. And that could potentially create some chaos if Michael wins. Because think about it. He can just kind of sit back and enjoy the scrambling. Because then I do think that there will be some scrambling. I don't know if Jenna would go crazy or Sebastian would go crazy to try to save Jenna. I think you're very correct on that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Michael would decide to try to go after Angela. I don't know. I think he's winning immunity. That's my prediction.
Okay. So who's your prediction for who's actually getting voted out?
I don't like this at all. Well, I think I would have to go with, I'm going to go with Angela again, even though I loved her this past episode. I feel like she's now almost like the loner. I don't know. Who does she have?
I mean, she was trying to ingratiate herself, and it seemed like she had done a decent job.
Yeah, but I still feel like if it's not Michael, if he wins immunity, I think Angela's going to be, I think she's going to be in trouble. Because she, okay. It was, and I think because her edit was so interesting, where all of a sudden she came out of nowhere, and she's like, I'm going to stir the pot, and I want to get things going, I want to get people riled up. And she pretty much talked to, I think, everybody about the Michael thing. She didn't limit herself and just share the information with some people. So maybe she'll be another one where they can just say, oh, that'll be easy. And we can all agree. Because she doesn't have anybody.
Maybe.
She doesn't have anybody.
Yeah.
But she was so cute this past episode. So.
And she won the Losty.
So that would be sad. Because I was really quite taken with her. And that I'm very impressed with the... And can I tell you, I'm jealous. I wanted a gross eating challenge more than anything when I was out there. Oh, that would have been so much fun.
Yeah, you have a different idea of fun than I do. And apparently than Wendell does, considering his reaction to it.
Oh, poor Wendell. That was hysterical.
It was just like, I am having none of this. Both literally and figuratively.
Yes. Very fun to watch, though. Very fun to watch.
So, all right. Well, before we finish up, I want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. You can help support all of the RHAP podcasts by heading over to robhasawebsite.com/patron and taking a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kinds of perks you can get. So, for example, you know, we've mentioned this before. We've talked about being able to get into the patron Facebook groups where you can find a bunch of like-minded people who are also Survivor and reality TV fans, not to mention being able to chat with both of us and other RHAP personalities. Rob, of course, also does special podcasts and videos just for patrons. Patrons get first access to tickets for live shows like, well, Boston this week. And patrons get discounts to those events as well. There are a bunch of other perks, too. So check out all of the possibilities at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to us there. Or you can say hello to us in Boston if you're going. Or, hey, both.
Yes. I should bring my Magic 8-Ball to Boston.
No, you should not. I was so hoping you weren't going to bring that up.
You know,
I was thinking about that, and I was like, she's going to bring it, and she's going to make me take a picture with it.
Oh, see, now you're done. I actually considered bringing you a Magic 8-Ball, but then I thought about it. It's filled with liquid, and they might not let you bring it on the plane. So.
Okay, I won't tell you I'm flying Southwest this time and get a free bags.
All right, so maybe I'm going to bring you a Magic 8-Ball.
I don't know about that. Oh, man, I shouldn't have told you that. All right.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to decorate it for you, too.
Oh, my.
Good times. It's going
to
happen.
Okay. So we have to figure out a hashtag.
Ooh.
And the only one I could come up with was something that kept coming up here. And that is, well, like I said, despite what people were saying, Libby was hashtag not a devil.
Ah, devil in a red dress. I like that one too. But yes.
Yeah, but she's not a
devil. I know. And that's the thing. Okay. Not a devil.
Okay. Hashtag not a devil. I don't think I have to spell that one like suave beneficiary. And I have to tell you, I admire everyone who sat there and wrote that down because we had a lot of hashtags.
I couldn't even do it. I tried. I couldn't. It was too much. It was a lot. I was flustered, like Libby. I was flustered.
So, and of course, there is the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is hashtag YXLost. Everyone should make sure you subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor or, you know, just setting it up on your iTunes or Downcast or Podbean or whatever it is that you use. We're also on the reality TV Rehapups feed. And in both places, you'll get all the content that you know and love, like the Know-It-Alls, Wiggle Room, the B&B, and much more. Also, if you're buying anything on Amazon, yes, that includes a Magic 8-Ball, then make sure to head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And yes, there is a Magic 8-Ball there, and it's not because of Jessica.
No, it's not.
It is because of Rob.
Listen,
so,
Rob had a great idea. I borrowed it.
Yes.
My children happen to have a Magic 8-Ball, and I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
You know what happened to Rob's, right? It melted.
It melted?
In a fire. Remember?
I don't remember.
The Butch fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it half melted. So it'd be a shame if anything like that happened to yours.
That's terrifying. You can't threaten my Magic 8-Ball like that.
Yeah, of course, you just told me your kids had it, so now I can't even do
right,
that.
Right, it's my children's. That would be, how sad would that be? I have to go home and tell my children that you broke their toy. That would be terrible.
That would be
like
bad.
I'm sorry, children, but David Bloomberg really is a devil, and
yes,
he broke your toy.
Yes, but then you could go to www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP and get a new
one. True. I could do that too.
So, and actually, you can, you know, go there and do all of your Amazon shopping to help support RHAP. Literally, just before this podcast started, I ordered printing ink from there. So
nice.
All right. So, other than talking to Jessica and me in the patron Facebook group and in Boston, make sure you follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89, and I'm at David Bloomberg. And of course, you got to follow us both to get the whole conversation all week.
That's right. And you definitely want to follow us both because I post a lot of selfies, and sometimes Bloomberg might be in those selfies and he doesn't like to post them, but every once in a while he does. Right, Bloomberg?
Yeah, it's all true. thank you to Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, even though you keep bringing up the Magic 8-Ball.
I apologize, David Bloomberg, but I do enjoy driving you just a little bit crazy. So
yes,
thanks for letting
me
do that. It's fun.
All right. So some of you, we will see in Boston. The rest of you, we'll see you right back here in a week. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You lost Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.